So thanks for hanging in there for the last 3 minutes while I talk to myself, and a very warm welcome to the Peace Alliance National Field Call for September. I'm really glad you hung in there. And if you can hear me now, just to reassure me, please press 1 on your phone keypad so that I know that I'm being heard. Please go ahead, and there they are, the ones that are lighting up the screen. All right. Thanks so much for sticking with us. And it's really great to be together in solidarity around the prospect for practical and heartfelt peace building in our world through programs and policies and connection. So again, thank you so much for bearing with me, and I apologize for that little technical snafu. For our agenda for this evening, in a moment, I'm going to introduce someone on our leadership council, Ms. Ngozi, who's going to introduce our special guest for the evening, Ms. Aisha Mason. And Ms. Mason will speak for a little while, and then we'll have a chance for question and answer, for some discussion, and then we'll have a little report about the upcoming lobby days. And after that, we're going to get into reviewing the action sheet, which was sent to everyone who registered for this call by email about a half an hour ago. So you should have all received in your inbox our action sheet for September, and we're going to review that about halfway through the call. So when you have a chance, if you haven't already, please open it, download it, so you can be looking at it together with us. And our action review will also include a guided meditation, because the theme for this month's action is around being peace and doing peace. So we're going to have some centering time, and I'm really looking forward to that. And after that, we'll have a chance to hear from any and all of you who wish to share, time permitting, what's happening in your neck of the woods. If you maybe have plans for the upcoming International Day of Peace on September 21st, or if you have other plans going on or accomplishments or questions about your peace-building world, it's just a time for us to all connect with each other. So, again, a very warm welcome. And next, I want to introduce our cultivating personal peace-building lead, Ms. Ngozi. And she's been such a pleasure to work with, as usual. And I am about to unmute her mic so that she can tell you a little bit about our special guest. Welcome, Ngozi. Oh, thank you so much, Dan.
I appreciate that. Well, it's with my great pleasure this evening to introduce to our community Aisha Mason. She's a peace builder, a spiritual activist, and a teacher. And for the past 25 years, she has created programs that support individuals harnessing the power of soul force for personal transformation, social justice, and peacemaking. Little highlights about her career. She serves currently as the Associate Regional Director of the American Friends Service Committee in the West Region. She's also been an Executive Director at the Center for Advancement of Nonviolence and co-founder of Soul Force Training. She spearheaded the launch of the first season for nonviolence in Los Angeles in 1998. She's a spiritual practitioner of new thought, ancient wisdom. She has taught classes and worked in private practice for the past 30 years. She co-founded the Common Unity and the Community Outreach Ministries at Agape International Spiritual Center and teaches practitioner training at Agape University of Transformational Studies and Leadership. She is a contributor to How to Stop the Next War, Now and Together. We are one and co-author of 64 Ways to Practice Nonviolence and a former host of The Morning Review and The Way Forward on KPFK Radio in Los Angeles. Welcome, Aisha Mason.
Thank you, Ngozi. That's a beautiful introduction. And I'm really happy to be here with you tonight, particularly after my day today, which gave me an opportunity to practice what I'm going to be talking about tonight. So I'm going to be retiring from the American Friends Service Committee in about 10 days after 12 years of work there. And if you have ever prepared for a vacation, you may be able to recall how frenetic it can be before you actually get to the vacation as you tie up all the loose ends at home and before you go to the airport or get in your car. And so I'm at that level, except it's for retirement, not just a vacation. Mm-hmm. And then I also knew today I had a workshop to prepare. And then my father, who's 97, went into the hospital this morning. I'm happy to say he's out, but it happened. And then I got a notice on email that said that ICE was about to start, had started raids that are being called Operation Mega. And Operation Mega is intended to arrest more than 6,000 immigrants in a couple of weeks. So I had a moment today where I just went into overwhelm. I mean, I actually felt my breath getting short, like it just a little frenetic. So I did something that a year ago I wouldn't have done. I pushed away from the desk and I went outside and took a walk for 15 minutes. And for 15 minutes, I didn't think about my job. I didn't think about ICE. I didn't think about my dad. I just took a walk in a overcast, cool, beautiful day. And when I got back and I went back to my desk, I had restored my peace. My body had calmed down. I could think clearly. And the workshop I had to prepare just flowed effortlessly. So I had an opportunity to remember that one reason my personal practice of peace is important because I need to maintain my health in order to be able to contribute over the long haul. And in order to respond rather than react to crises, I need to take care of my peace so that I can respond with intelligence and with wisdom and with clarity. So being able to restore my personal peace is important to my own personal well-being. But and that would be enough, actually, but there, of course, there's more to it. So I want to share another part of my work. At American Friends Service Committee, the programs that I support work on mass incarceration. They work on human rights abuses along the border, immigrant detention, and a number of different policies and issues that all address how the dreams of poor people, people of color, people of different religions, all get their dreams thwarted in this system. And to do that, I have to be informed, I have to read the news every day, and I talk with my staff every day. That can be emotionally overwhelming. And I trust that the people who are on this call can reference some moment, maybe in the past 24 hours, when they have just been emotionally overwhelmed by the news that we see. So one of my responses to that kind of bad news is to take a few moments to meditate, to practice mindfulness, and sometimes I actually write or speak a prayer for myself. Your practice may or may not include prayer, but there needs to be a way for us to reconnect with the loving inside of us, to reconnect with our own wholeness and the humanity of people we consider the adversary. So several years ago, there was a massacre of students in Kenya by Boko Haram, I believe. And I was so emotionally touched by that, I sat down to write a prayer. And it just flowed. And then then it was like, well, what about the people who committed this atrocity? And I just froze. I thought, I can't. I wish they just didn't exist. I can't write something for them. And this little voice inside my head said, if you cannot see their humanity, if you cannot pray for them, this will never end. And that little voice stunned me so much that I snapped out of it, and I was able to write something that included them for their healing and for their realization of who they could possibly be. So what does it mean when that little voice says, this will never end unless I can open my heart? And what it means that is that unless we can find our own peace inside, until we can change from being caught up in the conflict, in the anger, in the resentment, in the despair, in the judgment, until we change, the conflicts in the world or in our community or even in our own household will not end. Because at the root of the conflict is a mindset or a worldview or our consciousness or a wound that outpictures as those acts. As long as we operate from that wounded place, we're going to get more of the same, even if the appearances change. So Martin Luther King talks about the creative tension and part of our role being to heighten the creative tension. And in order to do that and have it resolve into a higher expression, somebody has to be able to hold the center. And the only way we hold the center is through love. And that's what the practice of nonviolent activism is all about, being able to hold that center even while you take action. So cultivating personal peace is important for our own health. It's important because we want to live in accord with the values we have. But practicing personal peace and being able to keep our heart open is also pragmatic. It's how we win. Einstein said we can't solve the problem at the level of the problem. And physics, neurology, and political analysis say you cannot put out the same energy as your enemy and have things ever change because you're in the same field of energy. You have to be able to hold that tension so that something greater can emerge. That's why we have to practice our peace. So I call this the soul work of social change, and it's not optional. It's a requirement if we're going to succeed. It's about transforming ourselves and our communities even as we try to transform our country or the world. I just want to add very briefly that I think there's evidence of this in many of the movements, particularly those led by young people. I've seen it in the Occupy movement. I see it in Black Lives Matter. I see it in among the Dreamers and the undocumented youth movements. I see it creeping into labor movements. I think there's a lot of promise that our activism and our movements are going to embrace this personal piece of movement building. And I understand that Ngozi and Dan have provided a list or a guide for many of the things that you can do to practice your peace. And I just want to say, when we're living in the climate of violence being fostered in our country right now, one of the most important things we can do to change things is to really commit to this personal practice individually and in community. So I want to stop there and open the floor for conversation. So I'll turn this back over to you, Dan.
Okay, wonderful.
Or Ngozi.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you so much. I guess it'll be a little bit of each of us. But I so appreciate your message and your presence here. And I look forward to sharing the recording of this call with folks throughout our network, because I think your message is so important. And I think it really is the kind of thing that our network tends to really appreciate and align with, and we need steady reminders and inspiration. So you're really providing that in a new wonderful lens. So anyone who has a question or wishes to engage in some discussion, you can go ahead and press 1 on your phone keypad, and I'll see your hand going up. Just press 1 on the keypad of your phone, and I'll be able to call on you. You may have just hypnotized everyone into calm. yeah, I can reflect a little bit more until someone else comes up with what they might want to ask. But I just so appreciated you talking about the shift from in your own personal experience of going from emotional overwhelm to reconnecting with heart, reconnecting with wholeness. And humanity that that's such an important journey and challenge. I wonder if there's another example. There's a couple of hands going up, but I don't want to just stop in the middle of my question. Is there an example that you could sort of point to from the news, the current news, where it was starting to get you down and you just found mm-hmm. a way to reconnect and find your liveliness again?
Just recently, the violence that erupted in Charlottesville, and not just what happened there, which was violent, but then the spin that I see by the current administration saying that everyone is equally to blame, or actually it was set up for this to happen, or just the distortion of facts, just really that kind of thing could keep me enraged, or could make me feel like crying. I think I alternate between the two. And I had to shift my attention. Several things. I had to remember that those people who are doing that, that violence is fueled by ignorance and suffering. Ignorance and suffering. So I have to remember that. And even though I may not be the person to engage in a conversation, just when I can reference that it's caused by ignorance and suffering, I can feel my heart soften a little bit. And then I focused on the heroism of some of the people there to confront that violence, some of those who helped each other to stay safe. And that lifts me rather than focusing my attention solely on the people who were so, not just the people there who were ugly and violent, but those people who have tremendous influence politically, who co-sign that, who legitimize that. Have to remember that there are other people, more people on the other side who resist that. And I'd love to hear other people cope with it as well.
Thank you. Great. So I've got a couple of hands up. I'm opening the mic for Katie. Katie J. I think it might be long, but I can't get
long,
the end of
yes.
your name.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hear you fine.
Okay,
thanks.
Good. I recently experienced, I was the director of a psychiatric hospital for children, and I had been threatened there after hours, and then went home and was threatened because of my religion from some people that were involved with probably the alt-right. And it was terrifying. And at that time, I was so angry, and it took so much inner strength I wasn't ready to forgive, but I had to find peace so that I could survive without, I felt as if, you know, I was going to have heart problems. It was so terrifying. And they had come at me the one morning with baseball bats and awakened me in the early morning hours. And I lost my job because I had PTSD from that, so I could no longer work in that field right now. But listening to you and realizing that I cannot do anything more powerful than to find my peace. And as you stated earlier, Aisha, you were mentioning that the scientists have found that we cannot meet energy vibration, because
yes.
it will just turn out negative. You have to calm yourself. You have to find that place of peace and competence in yourself to know, how am I going to handle this, that I survive and they survive, that I don't react. It's normal to react in perhaps violence back to protect yourself. But I couldn't do that. I was so terrified. I was almost frozen in fear. But as I recover and I go on with my life, pressed charges, and the charges were dropped because it was their word against mine, and they couldn't really find the guys that they left quicker than I could get the police there. so I realized how important it is to change that vibration, you know, to recover and continue on with showing that, you know what, I'm not going to be an angry person back at you. I'm going to handle this appropriately with justice in mind. Of course, we cannot forget that, but we cannot respond in an aggressive manner, which sometimes happens as it happened down south. I like that kind of, there's a kind of, I have a little memory problems right now. So when you are demonstrating where you just link arms and you're quiet, I have seen that on the internet, how they're starting that. And that's something that I really think is powerful, extremely powerful.
Can you share your name again?
Katie
Long. Katie,
Jane Long.
First, I really, I honor you for what you survived. Even if they didn't actually physically attack you, the psychic violence that was directed toward you can be just as impactful. And what I hear you saying, and what I want to really affirm, is that part of that finding peace is not denying our emotions, but developing the skill to take care of those emotions, to be able to be a safe place to be with the emotions that come up, and then within that, reconnect with a place inside of us that is whole, to recognize that place is untouched by what they did. And that gives you the capacity to stand your ground inside yourself. And it sounds like you are really, just really doing that in a way that a lot of people have never had to be challenged with. So I honor you.
And I thank you. That's very kind. And it encourages me to continue to heal and work on forgiveness, understanding. And I do understand the neighbors that did this and the group of people. It is ignorance. It actually is extreme ignorance. So it's in that way I can say, you know, if I meet them someday on the street, I can say, I hope you've learned something from what you did, you know. And I'm healing, but you have to change that energy, and I appreciate your acknowledging that.
Thank you so much, Katie, for sharing. There's another hand up I see, which is Lynn. Go ahead, Lynn, your mic is open.
Yes, I'm just wondering when we're going to come together, all the churches and the spiritual groups uniting and create the legislation for heart and soul community services with a basic guaranteed income with single payer, so that we can stop this nonsense of all the, you know, armed force service training with single payer.
What do you think, Ms. Mason? Do you have any thoughts about that strategy?
I think stepping out of the personal piece for a moment, but as an organizer, I think we are well on our way. You know, when it happens depends on our commitment to making it happen and working in harmony with having the right conditions for it to happen. And one thing I have learned over a long period of time is that a movement or a change like that, it doesn't take a year or 2 years usually. It's usually a long, steady commitment, a long drumbeat to change. But I love that Cesar Chavez saying about having the patience to win. We have the patience to win.
Yeah. Thanks for that share, Lynn, and thanks for that deep response. It can be a long path. So, I think that's about all we have time for now. And I really appreciate your presence and joining us again. And I'm going to hand it over to Ngozi. Ms. Mason, you're more than welcome to stay with us for the rest of the call
Thank
if
you.
You'd like.
Thank you.
I also, of course, acknowledge, of course, you're more than welcome. And if you have other pressing priorities, I'll totally understand if it's time for you to go. Perhaps you'll come back and join us another time. But I'll ask Ngozi to say sort of a final word of farewell to you, since she was the one who, thank goodness, reached out and found you and recruited you to join us tonight. I'm so grateful that happened. Ngozi, over to you.
Okay, thanks so much, Dan. Aisha, we are just so grateful to have you on the show today to share with our community, and I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to make room for us in your heart and in your work, and so we wish you well in all that you do.
Oh, thank you so much. It was a deep pleasure to be with you this evening.
Thank you.
Great. So next on our agenda, we'd love to hear a little bit of an update. We've got Lobby Days coming up in Washington, D.C. Some of you may be planning to attend. Some of you may be planning on supporting the folks who are lobbying in D.C. by calling your representatives and senators while our comrades are there on the ground in Washington, D.C. Either way, we'll hear a little bit of an update. And I have two phone lines attributed to Nancy Merritt. So one of them might be her husband, Doug. I'll just open one of them and see if that's Nancy. Nancy, is that you?
Hello.
Oh, there you are. Oh, Nancy, you're on the dashboard muting yourself as I unmute you, aren't you? Try again.
Okay, hi.
There you are.
Okay. I wanted to thank Aisha so much. I had a week similar to hers, only my hospital thing was 4 days in the hospital waiting for our grandson to be born, and he was finally born. so that was my that part of my week. I wanted to catch you all up on Lobby Days. We'll be going to Washington, D.C. October 4th, 5th, and 6th to lobby for Department of Peace Building and some other bills that are related. And I wanted to let people know, well, first of all, I want to let you know the good news that we just got a 32nd co-sponsor, who is Representative Pramila Jayapal from Washington, and she replaced Jim McDermott, who was a longtime co-sponsor, so it's really nice to have her on board. So for those of you who can go, if you go to our website and go to Issues and Answers to the Department of Peace Building section, it'll show you how to sign up and give you some more information on that. For those who cannot go, we would love for you to, we call it Amplify Our Voices. So while we're in Washington, D.C., we would love for you to call, and we'll be sending out a list of people we want you to call. But we've done this before, and it's been very, very effective. When we go into an office, sometimes we'll hear people say, "Oh, so and so just called about this same thing. So this is really great." So you'll see on the flyer about Amplify, we want you to call your members of Congress, and we have a list of former co-sponsors we would like you to call, or call as many as you can, and a list of potential co-sponsors. And it may look overwhelming at first, but call as many as you can, and you can spread it over the 3 days. And really, once you start, it only takes probably about a minute for each call. So I really encourage all of those of you who can't come to Washington to do that. And then I just wanted to give a slight a shout out to San Diego, folks in San Diego. They're going to Washington at the same time for a march, the Million Youth March, Peace March, which we'll be participating in also. But they're busy gathering letters from their high school and middle school students, and we just got a letter from the president of the San Diego City Council to take to members of Congress supporting asking people to co-sponsor the Department of Peacebuilding legislation. So that's a quick update. I don't know if you want to add anything else to that, Dan, or...
That's wonderful. The only thing that I would add, Nancy, is that I included the link to the page about lobby days and about the legislation on tonight's action sheet. So if you're looking at your action sheet online, when we get to that option for action, you can just click on that for background information and resources.
Oh, I just want to add, I forget if I said this, to tie in with Aisha, when we go into the each member of Congress's office, before we go, last year we did this, we gather in a circle and we do kind of a brief meditation focusing on our heart energy, and that really helped us to keep our personal peace amidst some kind of craziness that's in Washington sometimes. So I appreciate what Aisha said.
Yeah. And thanks for that. That was a good reminder just to me that remember that feeling. That inspires me just to give a little bit of cheerleading. If you're thinking about it, if this is a possibility for you, if you're, you know, maybe you live within driving distance and you can still make that decision. The hotel where the sort of training and preparation is going to be happening, the Harrington, is that what, Nancy?
Yes.
Yeah, is not outrageously expensive. It's right in downtown D.C. and it's conveniently located, and you'll have support if you've never done something like this before. It's really a wonderful thing. I feel really grateful that I've had the opportunity to join together with folks and lobby together. And it's really about relationships. You don't have to be an expert. You just have to have a sense of what you want from your government. This is your government, and your representatives are there largely to hear from you and figure out how to serve you. So you can do them a favor and do us all a favor by joining in. There's plenty of information on that page as far as who to contact. I'm sure if you have questions, nancy@peacealliance.org would be happy to answer any specific questions. So, yeah, if you're on the fence or considering it, I would encourage you to really give it some serious thought. It could be a wonderful thing that you'll remember the rest of your life, and really be glad you did.
Also, if you do come to the Hotel Harrington, it will give you ample opportunity to practice personal peace because it's a block away from the Trump Hotel.
Lovely. Training ground. Cool. Anything else, Nancy?
No, thanks.
Okay, terrific. Thank you. Great. So now's the time when I'd love for folks to have, if it's easy, convenient, if you have access to that action sheet, it could be really handy. And the theme or the focus, as I mentioned, for this month's action is being peace and doing peace. So the invitation for September is to connect with your well of inner peace and caring power, and then to translate some of that centered power into some peace-building action. And we've got some suggestions for possible peace-building action that you might take, and we'll sort of look through that buffet in a few minutes. But first, I want to invite Ngozi to come back, and Ngozi is going to lead us in a little bit of a centering meditation. So it'll be a few minutes, and so I want to encourage you to get comfortable, find a position and that you can sit in happily for a few minutes, and I'm going to open Ngozi's mic. Your mic is live, and welcome back.
Thank you, Dan. So thank you so much, everyone, for showing up this evening. And so let's take a journey together, allowing ourselves to release all moments that have come before this moment, allowing ourselves to be completely in this new moment. Let's take a moment to open our hearts, scan our bodies for any energy that needs to be released, And let's allow for ease and flow of the breath of life to flow through us with our complete awareness. If you feel comfortable, please close your eyes. Take a few deep breaths. Focus your mind. Allow your mind to visualize yourself in a beautiful place that brings you joy. Allow your body to feel the elements of the environment, to sense the smells, and to hear the sounds all around you. Imagine yourself at the center of wherever you are. Imagine that you are surrounded by a golden light. You are within this golden light. You are illuminating this golden light. Imagine that your feet are planted firmly on the soil of the rich earth. You look around and you see life everywhere present. Imagine feeling a warm energy of peace and unspeakable joy throughout your entire body. Imagine the golden amber flame that burns deep, deep, deep within the core of the earth beneath your feet. Imagine the golden amber flame rising up through the soil and entering the sanctuary of your body, beginning with the feet, then moving up through your entire body. Imagine this golden amber flame purifying all ailments in your body, all negative thoughts, and dissolving all traumatic memories and experiences in this now moment. Imagine feeling the joy of release of all toxic energy and embracing the illuminating golden light that showers you like a beautiful tropical rainstorm that renews, that transforms, and transcends your state of consciousness and expands your awareness. Imagine embracing this rebirth of peace, compassion, and forgiveness as you continue your journey, your personal peace journey with ease and grace. Take a moment to allow yourself to gently bring yourself back into full awareness of your body and the wonderful gift that you have received while on this miraculous journey we have shared together this evening. Take a few deep breaths now. Embrace yourself with a reverential acceptance and appreciation for being a beneficial presence on the planet. You may open your eyes when you are ready. Thank you. Yeah, it's back to you, Dan.
Thank you. Thank you, Yossi. Thank you so much. Lovely. So, here we are. A little bit different from how we were maybe 3 minutes ago. And I want to invite, if anyone is willing, it's nice to sometimes have a variety of voices. If someone is willing to read from some of the options that we've suggested for some actions that people could take. And this is, again, as a buffet with some options. If anyone feels inspired to read aloud with us, you can press 1 on your keypad, and I'll ask you to go ahead and read some of that for us. And if everyone feels like staying quiet, that's totally understandable, and I'll try to read it in an acceptable way. Seems like people are wanting to stay quiet. I think they're in a deep sense of peace. But I'll go ahead and do some reading then. I'll just call on part of your mind to be active with us, even though your heart may be very, very still and peaceful. I'm going to share some of these options that we suggest as ways that you can take some of this peaceful power that you've just stoked up. You've just stoked the fires of your peaceful power, how you might bring this into action. Here are some ideas One is about making amends, or healing, or reconciliation. You might think of someone who might feel some hurt by something that you did or said. Maybe there's someone in your life who you think might have some hard feelings, and you might take an opportunity and offer to listen to them, share their experience of what happened. And then you could reflect back to them what you heard them say, seeking understanding, not necessarily agreement, and not arguing or justifying, just reflecting to understand. And then you might ask if they have any requests of you. Now, if you feel there's an opening, you might also ask if they're willing to hear your experience of what happened and to reflect back what they heard. That's an option. So this is spelled out as some possibilities. Those of you who practice some nonviolent communication or compassionate communication practices, you may recognize this modality. I learned this from John Kenyon's version. John Kenyon is a teacher I really cherish, who has a Mediate Your Life series of teachings. A second option is to create a calendar reminder for yourself to call your Congress members during lobby days, October 4th through 6th, to express your support for peacebuilding legislation, primarily the Department of Peacebuilding bill. And you can find more information and resources on the link that I've provided. A third option is more sort of a local engagement option, to identify some local organizations near you promoting peacebuilding, whether through restorative practices, compassionate communication tools, mentoring programs, or other methods, and seek ways to support at least one of them, perhaps through volunteering or making a donation, attending a local event, or publicizing their work through a letter to the editor. Many of you have had some training or practice in writing letters to the editor about things that you think are wonderful. That's really positive. Organizations often love to have their work shared so people are aware of them and can take advantage of them and help them to grow. Another option is to attend a local city council or county commission meeting and attempt to listen to every speaker with compassion and care. And I gave a hint that an attitude of open-minded curiosity about their values could be a helpful strategy. Even if this is someone that you typically might disagree with, if you just let yourself be curious, what are the values that underlie their position? What do they care about? In really sort of an open-minded way, that could really open the door for you into being compassionate and caring towards them. So it could be fun. And the last option that I suggested was to go swimming, if you think that might nourish your heart. And swimming was just one of the first things I thought of because I love being in water. And it's just an example of something that I generally find very nourishing for me. And you might have your own version of that. It might be make a pot of tea. It might be play ping pong. But I just wanted to open the door to remind you that something that you do for yourself, for your own wellness and wholeness and health, is an act of peace building that you're doing in the world. So that's your suggestion and invitation for the month of September, to take this peaceful centeredness and choose one or more actions that you'll do from that place of cultivating personal peace. So now I want to make the invitation to share whatever is going on for you in your world of peace building. If you have news, again, about the upcoming International Day of Peace, rather, plans that you have to do some lobbying or community events or activities, or questions for me or Ngozi or Nancy, perhaps other people who've spoken, go ahead and press 1 on your keypad and go ahead and tell us what's going on with you or tell us what's on your mind, and we all look forward to hearing it. I don't know if everyone's still in a very quiet mood, but feel free to let us know what's happening for you. I see one hand is up so far, and I'll call on Lynn, and then I'll let you know there's space for you to share your thoughts and questions after that. Go ahead, Lynn.
Yes, I've been working with two of the We Need to Unite These groups, so thank you, humanitiesteam.org, who's also working with the Shift Network. They're doing all kinds of programs. I'm in with them, and we should all be working together. And then there's CompassionCities.org, you know, and they're focusing on compassion games, you know, instead of war games. It's really beautiful, CompassionCities.org. And then several of the members of those other groups are going to be involved on Thursday on a global Oneness Day. You can Google that, the Global Oneness Day. And all those people and programs and groups, we should all be working together to bring in, you know, the legislation for, you know, aggressive kids can do sports, not war, but also too for the basics of bringing in heart and soul, these new community, heart and soul community services with a basic guaranteed income for people and single payer attached to these beautiful new heart and soul community services. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn. Okay. The floor is open. Looking for another number one on your keypad if you have anything to share or questions or any comments or anything that you want to air out while we're all together for the rest of our September call. I'm not afraid of a little bit of silence. I'll leave a few seconds of silence and see if anything comes to anybody they want to share. Oh, this may be the same Nancy Merritt, or it may be different member of the family. Nancy Merritt, your line is open.
Okay. I just wanted to let people know, in case you didn't see the story that we sent out, that the California Democratic Party endorsed the Department of Peacebuilding Act for the third Congress in a row. We just got back from there.
Woo-hoo.
They adopted our the resolution that our California folks submitted called Resolution to Budget for Peacebuilding for People and the Environment. They also adopted the so-called money bail bills, endorsed those with that are Kamala Harris and Rand Paul. And we promoted the UN Global Resolution for the Establishment of Infrastructures to Support a Culture of Peace. And that was also promoted on peacenow.com, so if anybody wants to sign that. And we also tabled and shared space with Compassionate California, and they are an amazing group of people, and compassion and peace building, of course, totally go together. So, and Geraldine, our own Geraldine, I don't know if she's on the call, but she was a panelist at the Democratic Party luncheon on Saturday. It was Women's Equality Day, the 97th anniversary of women getting the right to vote. And Geraldine is president of California Now, in addition to all the million other things she does. So she was one of the guest speakers. So we had a really good executive board meeting. And if you all want to see more about it, you can go to our homepage, the Peace Alliance homepage, and that'll link to the story.
Wonderful. Thanks, Nancy. I just kind of want to underline a little bit of what Nancy just said. It sounds like so much amazing stuff that many people might not actually be internalizing part of what she just shared. I want to flesh it out that a handful of volunteers attend the California Democratic Party National Convention, and through networking, communicating, tabling, they managed to get peace-building planks into the platform of the state party, and California is probably the biggest Democratic Party in the country. So this is a tremendous accomplishment that one of the biggest states, if not the biggest state population-wise, has adopted in their party platform these peace-building planks. So anybody who aspires to do something along those lines, we've got some people who've learned by doing it over the last several years, and and I'm sure they'd be happy to share their insights and advice for anybody who's interested. I see there's another hand up. Oh, sorry, I just cut Nancy off. Were you going to say something else, Nancy?
Well, I was just going to say if there's anybody on the call from New Jersey, we're trying to do something similar, the smaller baby steps right now in New Jersey. But our person there, Ann Creter, could certainly use some help if there's anybody inclined to do that. So just you could write to me and I'll hook you up with Ann.
Perfect, perfect. And again, it's Nancy@peacealliance.org. We've got a hand up from one of our board presidents, Terry Mason. Welcome, Terry.
Hi, thank you so much. I just three things I wanted to touch on. I mean, everything has been covered so beautifully this evening, and I'm so impressed and grateful for everything that's been shared. The first thing is going back to Aisha Mason's talk and the response to it from one of the callers. I didn't catch the name, but I'm so grateful for the idea and the concept and the importance of understanding that where there is conflict and where there is violence and where there are these things that arise in our lives every day, we do have the opportunity and the choice to make to go peaceful inside in order to address it most effectively. And that's one of the core principles of the Peace Alliance, that we don't, we work very hard on not reacting in a way to, you know, to respond to whatever we're being faced with the same level of energy, but to go to a different place in order to be empathic and to be compassionate and to also exercise self-care and be able to approach those incidents in a far more effective manner. So I'm very grateful to what was shared because it's so critical, especially in these times when almost every time you turn on the news, it's easy to get inflamed. So it's really important to step back and be able to, you know, to care for your own heart and soul, because that's the best way you can make the world more peaceful. That's the second thing I just wanted to touch on, and Dan, you mentioned International Peace Day, Day of Peace, and it could be that some of our callers are not aware that September 21st is the International Day of Peace. It was established many years ago, and there are community events being held all over the country. So if there's anything Google it, look up what's going on in your area, because chances are there are more than one option of how you can celebrate the International Day of Peace on September 21st and be part of that, you know, that great movement of things that are happening all around the world that day. It's really exciting. And the third thing, and Dan, you mentioned this, and Nancy, you did as well, the opportunity that Lobby Days presents for people who have never lobbied before. And, you know, you might have lobbied in your local office. You might, you know, click on the links that come to you and send the petitions in, or even pick up the phone and call your member of Congress and leave a message with the person who answers the phone. But there is something extraordinary about actually going to the congressional buildings in Washington, D.C., and walking the halls of Congress and going into those offices and having a seat with one of the legislative aides that represents your member of Congress. There's something so empowering and so deeply exciting by doing that. It's something that, I mean, if you've never done it before, I will tell you the first time I did it, I had no idea what to expect. I had no idea what to do. And this group will guide you through every step of that. And to have the opportunity to go there and to do that, when you walk out of that office, you feel like you could do anything because mm-hmm. you have actually taken that step and become the most active citizen you can possibly be. I mean, everybody has the opportunity to vote at every election, and I wish more people did, but this is an opportunity that all of us have, and really a very small percentage take. So this is an opportunity for you to take that step with people who will guide you through it. And so I really encourage you, if you have a chance, if you have the time, if you have the means, to go to D.C. with these folks and go lobby, because it's really fun. That's all I have to say.
Amen. Amen to all that. That was perfect. Thank you, Terry. I love hearing him go see laughing in the peanut gallery. So there's one more hand up, and it's Pat. I can't see the end of your name. It looks like Westwater, maybe. But I'm going to ask you to try to keep it brief because we're just 2 minutes from the end of the call. Go ahead, Pat. Your mic is open.
Okay, thank you. First, I apologize. I'm losing my voice, so I didn't raise my hand at first, and I hope people could understand what I say. My full name is Westwater Jong. There's a hyphen Jong. And I wanted to say two things. I wanted to congratulate the person from California. I live in Massachusetts, and I work in the Democratic Party. We tried very hard to get two peace amendments into our platform, but the Democratic Party leaders wouldn't even after we collected the number of signatures that should have enabled us to discuss them for 10 minutes and then vote, wouldn't even let us discuss them. So, but we read what happened in California, and we all cheered. So congratulations to you, and we won't give up. And two, I'm part of a group that invited some people, some children, and a couple of parents from a couple of villages in the West Bank of the Palestinian territories who made Pinwheels for Peace to come to the Hill in D.C., and have a briefing from members of Congress to talk about how they wanted, what the reality of the situation is on the ground there, and to ask the people in Congress to please support efforts for equal rights and for justice and for peace for everybody living in Israel and Palestine. So that's that actually happened today. The head of that is in celebration of the International Day of Peace.
Wonderful. Thank you. That was a lot of great stuff and very efficient. You said all that in under 2 minutes, so amazing. And really inspiring to hear about all of that. We are at the end of our call. I will share just one of my favorite brief and powerful quotes from Eleanor Roosevelt, which is that the future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams. And I wish beautiful dreams to all of you. And I'm going to open everybody's mic so that we can say whatever we want to say as we go off into the rest of our evening. Good night, everyone, and thank you so much.
Good night. Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Thank you.